Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur with holistic nurse practitioner, success coach, and best-selling author, Bonnie Gressel. Bonnie and her expert guests share tips, tools, and strategies to achieve success on your holistic entrepreneur journey. Each show features answers to common entrepreneur challenges, along with a healthy dose of support and motivation. Now, please welcome the host of The Holistic Entrepreneur, Bonnie Gressel.
Welcome to The Holistic Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Bonnie Gressel. Today, my guest is Matt Browning, and I am so excited to have Matt here. It's going to be a fabulous show, and I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. But first, I want to take a moment to thank all of you for spending time out of your busy day to share time here with us on the show. I always want to give a shout out to my listeners all over the world, and I just want to acknowledge all of the various countries, over 50 of them, that listen to the show. So wherever you are in this world, thank you for listening, and thank you for taking the time. Now, I know I've said this before, but I really do believe that being a holistic entrepreneur is really more about who you are than what you do for a living. You come from that heart-centered place. You're a conscious entrepreneur. You want to make a difference in the world. And perhaps that's you. And that's why you've decided to join us on the show today. So if this is your first time listening, welcome. And if you've tuned in before, welcome back. It's going to be another fantastic show. Now, I know that time is our most precious asset, so I always want to make sure that these shows are value-packed so that you feel your time was well spent. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed today. Matt's got some really good tips for us to use and to share as we grow our businesses. And I always want to remind you, if you're so inclined, to join us on Facebook. Entrepreneur Mastery is a place, it's a group, and it's a place where we can support one another, connect with one another. And I'm really active in that group. I post pretty much every day. So I look forward to seeing you there. And remember that you can find the links to all of the internet radio stations and networks that carry this show, like iHeartRadio and iTunes and SoundCloud and TuneIn and all of those others, on my website at BonnieGressel.com. You can just click on the icon and go directly there. And I always have a free gift for you on the page today, and today is no exception. The other thing I wanted to share with you before we get into our show for today is the summit, Amazing Women of Influence 2017, which has just started. I think it just started yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I've been asked to be a bonus speaker at the end of the summit. And there's fabulous people. Oh my goodness, you need to check this out. Women all over who have, you know, gone from, you know, not in a good place to just financial abundance and way up there in the sphere. So if you want to know how to do that, if you're struggling at the moment and you want to know how what they did to get where they are today, check out Amazing Women of Influence 2017. And I put the link on the show page for you so that you don't have to go searching for that either. So now, without further ado, let's welcome our guest for today, Matt Browning. Matt Browning speaks and runs seminars all over the world on subjects of involving inner conflict and creating successful lives. Matt captivates audiences with an honest, hilarious, and exciting look into our lives and how they really work. He was mentored by Anthony Robbins. He was filmed in the hit movie The Journey with Brian Tracy and Bob Proctor, and he consults with Fortune 100 companies. His client list includes U.S. Bank, the YMCA, John McAfee of McAfee Antivirus, Project Management Institute, and New York Life, among many others. Matt founded Evolution Seminars to use cutting-edge technology like NLP to share his secrets to creating success in all areas of life. As an entrepreneur, a best-selling author, and a master trainer of NLP, Matt is a leader in the field of business development and human potential. He resides in Orange County, California, with his amazing wife, Lola, and his awesome 5-year-old son, Valiant. Join me in welcoming Matt Browning. Well, welcome, Matt. I am so excited to have you here today to share all of your wisdom and insights with all of us. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day.
Bonnie, thanks so much again. I'm just really excited to be here and Yeah, I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Oh, I am too. You know, I read a little bit about people in their bio, obviously, but there's always more to the story. I mean, everyone has a story, right? Would you share with all of us a little bit about your journey and what brings you to what you do today?
Sure. Yeah. You know, if I haven't met, you know, someone listening before, you know, today I do a lot of trainings around a thing called NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming, and I run workshops and seminars, different countries, and usually these big 3-day events. But, you know, 10 years ago, I was in the mortgage business. In fact, it's funny, it's December 2016 is my 10th year doing coaching and speaking and empowerment and kind of the work I'm doing today. But like, it wasn't always like that, right? Like I was living in this place where I figured out how to get successful in my own way, right? Like I was making money and I had a business going and I was, you know, young in my early 20s and things were working the way I thought they were supposed to. But there was this piece where I think a lot of entrepreneurs today probably share in this, is I looked around at the world and it was weird. Like I knew I was doing like good work and I was being, I guess what I would call like a good man, right? I was trying to make good choices and doing good things and taking care of my health and trying to have a good relationship and all that stuff. But there was this empty piece where I just didn't feel like it, I guess it didn't feel like it mattered. And I'm just being as candid as I can right now. And I've been asked, you know, my story before, but I always tell it in the moment because I think that's, you know, what people need to hear. So I realized there was just something missing and I started going to these seminars, right? Kind of the biggest mistake of my life. I went to my first seminar. I saw Tony Robbins and Tony is just doing such great stuff today, but you know, it was 2002. So 15 years ago, almost. Mm-hmm. I went to my first event and it just blew my mind. I didn't realize there was this whole way to like learn about our minds and about why we do what we do and unconscious motivations and all that sort of thing. So I saw him working with people who were depressed and then they weren't depressed anymore and changing behavioral patterns. And I was 22 and I fell in love with it. So I still stayed doing mortgages and real estate, but I quickly went on the path of learning how to be this thing called a coach, learning how to speak. I had no idea how to speak. I was super shy. And all that culminated a few years later as I was transitioning to life coaching fully and out of the real estate business. And I remember this distinctly, the first year that I really became an official life coach, I made $900 in a year.
Oh, wow.
Not a day or like 900 an hour, right? It was like 900 in a year. Because we throw around these crazy numbers that coaches will charge. And I charge more than that in an hour now, but that was literally what I made in a year. I had 3 clients, 2 of them were free and one of them paid me $900 and she got her money's worth. Cause I didn't value what that was. I didn't quite get it yet. Mm-hmm. And so like I'm doing real estate, but I hate it. And then I'm doing coaching. I love it, but I make no money. So I had this period of time, Bonnie, where like for almost 2 years, I basically took the small fortune that was over a 7-figure net worth that I had accumulated by 25. And I drained it I went to seminars and trainings and I lived on it so I could be a coach full time and I made no money. And I got myself in the place where I basically lost everything I had gained my entire early adult life. And I find myself living in my friend's trailer. I'm in his driveway. I can't afford a trailer. I'm in his trailer and I don't even have a driveway anymore. Right? I lost my last house. It was just crazy. But I got this opportunity of a lifetime that I'd never expected. But it all came from one email I decided to send to a guy I'd met, a friend of mine from the Tony Robbins group. And I said, "Hey, I'm speaking now." And he said, "Oh, that's great." And I didn't realize when I met him, I didn't know what it was, but he ran these big seminars in Australia. And he's had Richard Branson over as a speaker and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tim Ferriss and like all these people, right? He's a big promoter, one of the biggest ones there. And I wasn't in that industry. So I just thought, you know what? I'll ask him about this. And he replied back and said, "You know what? Why don't you get in touch with our speaker manager?" And I went on this 6-month process of chatting with people. And eventually they said, "Let's test you as a speaker." So I make it to Australia. I spend my last dollars, very literally, flying over there. I land with no place to stay. I'm wandering around now in this city where I don't know anybody. I'm supposed to speak on Monday, but it's now Friday. I have no place to sleep. I don't know what in the heck I'm going to do, but I know that I have to I have to speak and encourage the crowd, and I have to, what I call getting over. I have to get over with them. I have to have them love me and want to learn from me. And then they want me to make an offer, which I'm super like not good with, but I gotta sell something. And he wants me to sell after an hour talk for like $2,000 on stage. And man, I mean, some people are good at this. I'm not, like, I was just terrible. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I had to be doing this full time, and I had to find a way to do this full time and not live in my buddy's trailer in a driveway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, just before I finally got over there, I did this really cool advanced NLP training. It's called Influence Mastery. It was, at the time it was like 16 days. I teach a version now, 6 days. But it was basically using NLP, these communication patterns and gestures and things we call anchors, conditioning responses with people, how to tell a story that's impactful. There was all these things that we learned. And I took all of that before. And when I showed up on stage to go speak, everything just came out. And like, I didn't know what I was doing consciously, very little. I had no idea, but unconsciously my mouth just started saying things. I don't know if you ever like get that, but it just started working. And at the end of an hour, I sold $58,000 from stage after a 2-year period of not making more than $900.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, that was kind of the long version, but that was really like, that was a moment that defined, that was the moment when I said, if this works, I have a new career and I can impact the world in my own special way with my own unique gifting. If it doesn't work, I don't have a plan B because I'm no longer in the mortgage business. I don't have a house to live in. I don't have anywhere to stay. Hell, I can't even get back home from Australia. So if it didn't work, I have no idea. But there is this thing we do, I think, as an entrepreneur called burning the bridge. Mm-hmm. It's not always a great idea. I don't think we all have to go broke and live in a trailer and that kind of thing. But it's funny how often you hear that story, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know, the people in my mind, the only people who fail, if you use that word, it's not my favorite word, but the only people who fail are those people who quit.
I couldn't agree more.
And you didn't quit.
Yeah, there's something about like, and I see people today that are, because like if you're listening and you're in the entrepreneur space, you know, there's lots of different ways. There's the brick and mortar, you know, businesses, and there's e-commerce, and there's service businesses. And that's really what being a coach is understanding that it's a service business. It's not just doing something you love. And the truth is all business is like that. But it took me a while to figure that out, because I left my real estate business to start doing this thing I loved and the thing I was passionate about. And I wanted to help people. But it took 2 years to figure that out, that it was actually a business that I had to devote myself to, and I had to prepare, and I had to work, and I had to figure out systems, and I had to do accounting, and I had to do all these things, right? That so many people, I don't think they spend time doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just kind of had to start, you know, getting into it and, mm-hmm. and realizing that I can do that.
Yeah. And so many people, I think, you know, don't build that foundation first. You know, there's when you're a new entrepreneur, there's like so many things to learn, and you kind of get shiny object syndrome, and you go after this and that and the other thing. And if you don't have a good foundation of all those core things, and mindset is a huge piece of that core, then it doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything more important, honestly. Like in the business world, we'll call it like hard skills and soft skills. Mm-hmm. I'll do corporate consulting sometimes, and the category we fall into is soft skills, right? It's communication, it's leadership, it's mindset, it's motivation strategies, you know, all that kind of thing, public speaking skills, training skills, content design. That's all soft skills. Those are things that we just, it's weird. It's kind of a human behavior dynamic. It's a thing that it's hard to teach sometimes too. Whereas a hard skill like learning Microsoft Excel or something like that isn't too hard, right? It's just you learn it, you go through a training, and you're done. The soft skills, though, are so subjective in nature. Like psychology, right? Like, you know, you can look at like physical body medicine. You go, oh, well, this gland secretes this hormone, and that's just how this works. And yeah, there's a piece to it where we're holistic with our mind and body and so forth. But like, when you look at the body, it's like, oh, the finger does what the finger does. But when you look at the mind, you go, well, Bonnie's mind works this way. Matt's mind works this way. When we get to the same stimulus, the same environment, we might react differently to those things, right? So to me, there's nothing more important than understanding, not just mindset of like a positive mindset, but understanding, when I say mindset, I mean understanding not motivation, but the motive behind our behavior, understanding why we do what we do. And then if those behaviors and motivations work, we need to learn the pattern behind it so we can keep doing it. If those motivations and behaviors do not work, meaning they provide unhealthy behaviors or unhealthy results or things we just don't like, we need to figure out how to modify that at the deep unconscious level. And that's really what I've been studying for the last 10 years, honestly, 15 years, teaching it for 10.
Oh, it's, you know, so much of business is about relationships. I mean, you can't really do a business in isolation. Mm-hmm. I don't know of a way that you can do that.
Yeah.
So that whole dynamic between two people or one person in a group or whatever, how do you, like when you're on stage or when you're giving a presentation, because sure. I know there's lots of people out there who are in this position, either speaking to someone one-on-one or in a group, how do you, you know, start and cultivate a relationship like that? I mean, how do you get, like you said earlier, people had to love you, you know, because you had to sell right. yourself at the end of your talk. How does one do that?
So good. So as I think about that, what we're really talking about again is there's kind of two different dynamics. One dynamic is figuring out like who you are and how you want to show up. And that's a whole train of thought we could talk about, I mean, forever, right? Like, I don't think there's enough days in our life to talk about that. One of my favorite subjects. But I think something that's cool is like if you're in business and you've probably been on the journey of like figuring that piece out, right? And I don't think it's something we ever figure out. I think it's personal growth to me is very much like exercise or diet. Mm-hmm. People sometimes think of it as like making a breakthrough. And once I make a change, then now it's permanent and everything's different. But the truth is like, I don't think life really works like that. We need to constantly evolve ourselves. That's why our company's evolution. We have to constantly be looking at how we can become even better, right? And if you look at personal development, just like diet or exercise, you don't go to the gym, lift a weight and be like, oh good, now I have big biceps, right? Like if you're going to develop muscle, if you're going to shift your nutrition intake, like you have to do that every day. You can't eat a salad once and be healthy. So yeah. With that said, that's kind of personal growth is I think we should just always be doing it. When you look at communication, I mean, number one is like staying in your authentic place, being who you are, and not changing yourself based on who you're around is almost a skill, to be honest. I give you how many times, like Bonnie, like we're sitting here, we're chatting just before this summit, and you know, we're sitting there talking, right? And I'm sure like you do the summits, you do the podcast, and you have all these different things that you do, and you're interviewing and connecting with people. And what's great about you is you're you, whether you're on air or off air. And I think there's a lot of people who don't get that, you know, like you sit around your living room on the couch and you talk to your friend and go, oh, let me tell you. And you just start talking, you communicate, right? Yeah. And they get you, they know you're real. But then all of a sudden we go on stage or we go in front of a customer or we go on the air or whatever we're doing. And we become this weird, different, like I'm projecting this professional something or other. And it's just the dumbest thing, honestly. So number one for communication is like, you have to just be real and be authentic. Mm. I am right now, I'm not saying a script. I'm just sharing like what I'm thinking about. And I think that to me, that's a lot of what the world is hungering for right now. You know, one of my friends, A.G. Morishita, I don't know if you know him, but he's such a great guy. I always quote him on this. He says, the world is drowning in knowledge, but thirsting for wisdom.
Mm. So yeah. True.
And I take it one step further and think the world is drowning in media, but thirsting for authenticity. Mm-hmm. I think we're just, people want real. You know, you look at videos that go viral and it's just, it's moments that are captured. It's somebody, you know, doing a selfie video in the car or Facebook Live right now in 2016, 2017, right there. It's just, hey, here's me with my earphones in the backyard talking. And those are the ones that are getting hits but the promotional videos that are in front of a green screen with all these great graphics. I mean, they have a place, right? They're great, but they don't get anywhere near the traction. So again, the point is like, number one is authenticity. Just be you. Don't change a thing. But once you figure out who you are, the next step is you got to know who they are, right? So when you look at who they are, there's a lot of ways to look at that. I think there's a ton of like profiling tools and things. I don't like all those as much. I mean, I do. I use them for sure, different ones, whether it's Myers-Briggs or DISC or Gallup Strengths Finder or Life Languages or, you know, whatever they are. There's a bunch more. But I find that becomes sometimes too complicated. And when you connect with somebody, you're not I don't know the last time I sat across from someone and thought, oh, they're probably a judger and they have a high intuitor and they're this and they're that. So let me alter my communication model and I'll change my language pattern this way. And I'll ask questions like people, as good as it is, it's much better to use Myers-Briggs or something like that for hiring. Right. Mm-hmm. When you're doing an interview and you can ask specific questions to know if the personality seems to fit the position and vice versa. But when you're just connecting with someone and you're just having a conversation, that stuff goes out the window. I could share if we have time. There's a method I use that probably most people have heard of, but I could share a little bit of insight into how to get into it.
Yeah. Oh, I would love if you would do that, Matt.
Okay, cool. So there's these three modalities of the way people represent or interact with the world. And this is, it's from neuro-linguistic programming, but it's gone into kind of the mainstream and everyone would be familiar. It's basically the modalities of visual, auditory, and kinesthetic. Now there's five modes we operate in. There's also olfactory, gustatory, smells, and tastes. But for the sake of like communication, most people don't communicate through taste, right? Dogs communicate through smell, right? When we walk up to a dog, walks up to another dog, what do? Right? Yeah. They don't take a look at it necessarily. They don't say hello. They sniff each other's, you know what. So humans don't tend to do that. And we usually don't use taste as our first mode of operating. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So the three that remain really are visual, auditory, kinesthetic, which is simply just sight, sounds, and touch. Now, I'll bet most everyone listening right now, you've probably heard of, I call them VAK, right? Visual, auditory, kinesthetic. But what's funny is what we don't usually know is how in the world to use them, right? How to recognize them in someone and how to use them. So here's what I mean. If first I show up as authentic, right? And I'm just hanging out with you, Bonnie. But then the next thing I need to do is I need to go, man, where does Bonnie fall in one of these three? I want to be careful because this isn't a profiling thing. What it is everybody has all three of these rep systems that we use, representational systems. We all have all three and we use them at different times or the same time sometimes. But everyone tends to have one that we call a favored rep system, one that is their favorite one to get into most often. And they live most of their communication in this space. It's how they receive communication best and it's how they deliver communication best, right? So when you look at those, here's what I find is someone, you know, visual, they're usually going to be a little faster. They're going to talk like this. They're going to just like 1,000 miles a minute because a picture says 1,000 words, right? And they want to say all 1,000 all at once, yeah. Right? And the breathing's up high in their throat and their chest and they breathe a little faster and they talk a little faster and they use words like, let me look at this and how, you know, what a great sight. And how does this, do you get a clear picture about this? Oh yeah, I love that. So I see what you mean, right? Visuals are going to talk like that. So if you recognize somebody tends to be a little, I don't want to say hyper, but they're talking faster, they're breathing higher in their body, and they're using some of those visual kind of words like look and see and that kind of thing, it's a good indication they're probably someone who's high visual. So here's our trick though. If I find myself super kinesthetic will be the opposite side. Excuse me. Those people are going to be much slower. They'll breathe deeper in their body, lower in their body. Like a baby will belly breathe when they're lying in the crib, right? And kinesthetics will belly breathe more likely. They talk almost painfully slow to the point where if you're visual listening right now, you're like, oh my gosh, get on with it. Like you can't stand it, right? But that's kind of how that works. So if I find myself being high kinesthetic, but I want to go connect with someone high visual, man, I have to get myself into visual because what'll happen is there'll be an instant rapport happening. The person will feel connected to and they'll feel like, wow, this person, I like them. They're just like me, right? Because people like people who are like themselves. So they'll say, I like this person. And I'll leave it with this. I hope that helps a little bit. I know we don't have all the time in the world. This is something I'll usually, like with our speaking courses, or we have a really cool 3-day course called Influence, where we teach you how to use several, like 36 of these NLP behaviors, like VAK, how to use them on stage or how to use them with groups of two or more people. You can apply it one-on-one, of course, but I think it's a little more comprehensive or a little more interesting to apply it to more than one person, because the rules get more interesting how to do that. But yeah, so hopefully it'll help. What you're doing again is you're taking the kinesthetic, visual, auditory people. I'll get into that later. Like, you know, they just kind of want to be woken up a little bit. So you can use sound effects. You could fluctuate your voice. You can have high highs and low lows, right? Like if you're recording a home study material or something, or we're doing this interview right now. To be interesting to the auditories, you got to change it up a little bit. You know what I mean? You can go faster or slower. You can breathe higher or lower. You know, you can talk high, you can talk low. You can use a sound effect. Ding, ding, ding. Does that ring true? You guys getting it, right? Like, and it sounds silly almost, right? And I wouldn't talk like that the whole time. But if you take a few seconds, like 20 seconds or whatever, and you get into that kind of auditory mode and use a sound effect, or you, if you're quoting somebody, you could use their voice, right? You know, even if it's a bad accent, use an accent or whatnot, right? My mother used to say, now Matt, and just if I change, it doesn't sound like that. That's my thing. But if you change your voice up, the auditories kind of wake up and they connect with you. So the idea is this: if you get into one of those modes, that mode listening will connect with you. So what you do is you cycle through and you connect with the kinesthetics and they connect with you and they go, I like this person. And you go, great. You stay right there metaphorically. And then you begin changing your languaging and your tonality and you start connecting with the auditories. And then you say, and they say, I love you. And you say, I know, me too. You stay right there. And then you can change it up and go to the visuals. And you say, let's look at this. And they go, yay, you're finally here. Yeah, I know. And you connect with them. And then you say, I love you. You stay right here. They go, okay. And then you come back to the kinesthetics. And you can actually learn how in a presentation or a training or even just a conversation, how to shift from one to the next and just kind of continue cycling back and forth. It's a great way to maintain rapport and connection at a deep level with an entire group of people. So if I'm doing anything digital, if I'm in front of a live group, you got to cycle through them all. If you're only connecting with someone one-on-one, you just discern where they are, which one they live in most, and then you go to that one. So I hopefully that would help a little bit. That's something that, again, people have heard of VAK, visual auditory kinesthetic, but not a lot of people have gotten deeper into it of, well, how do I use it, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that's one of my favorite things to teach on, because there is so much more to the story.
Oh my goodness. And this is such valuable, awesome information. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. Now, we've talked about a lot of awesome things today, and there's so much more, I know. If people, you know, people, life is busy, and if people only have room for one more thing in their brain today, what's the most important thing that you would want them to take away from our conversation today?
You know, let me say this. Let me piggyback on what we just covered and give you one key distinction that'll change everything. Okay. There's one group of people, and this is, again, think about this as not just on stage. This is everywhere in the world. If you meet someone in Starbucks, or you have a client, or it's your spouse, or your child, or your parent, literally think about someone in your life. There's one demographic, a third of people, actually technically it's 40% of the population will fall into this category, that if you mismatch them in the beginning, most likely they will feel a distrust for you. And they don't know why, they just feel like they don't like you or they don't get along with you. And even if you try to then get into that mode later, you'll never win them back. They'll still feel like it's inauthentic. Mm. And that mode is kinesthetic. I've seen presenters come on stage and start high visual thinking they need to hype people up.
Yeah.
What happens is the 40% K's in the room, they sit there going, ah, I feel kind of assaulted. You're so fast. You're in my face. And then God forbid the speaker knows NLP and they slow down to K and they, a minute later they go, okay, hey, how you feeling out there? The K's are saying, what is this? Who, yeah. That's not you. And it feels like trickery almost. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. But that's the one nugget I wanted you to get is there's no more important rep system to connect with and be authentic with than the kinesthetics. Uh-huh. Because if you mismatch a K, they will feel hurt potentially, or they'll feel assaulted almost. If you're too, it'll feel like you're being abrupt. And if you try to go back into it later, they feel a feeling of distrust, even if you're completely trustworthy. So if you're going to connect and use this, always, always start with K in a group. The other ones, they'll come along with you later. And if you're doing one-on-one and somebody's high kinesthetic, trust me, at the start of every conversation, just start off kinesthetic and they'll know that you have a heart for them and you care about them. If they believe you care, then you can say whatever you want really after that, as long as you care. But that's the trouble, right? Even if you care, but you go into visual mode, it'll feel as if you don't care. So I hope that helps. And that's something changed my life and changed my marriage and how we use it every day.
Wow. That's amazing. That one golden nugget, so to speak, is amazing. I mean, you've shared so many awesome things with us today, and I know that there's so much more. You know, tell people how they can get more of you, because I know people are going to want more of you, Matt. I know I want more of you just from our conversation today. So what's the best way? What's the best way to reach out to you and work with you?
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. I appreciate that. I mean, super quick plug. It's pretty easy. If this is interesting at all and you want to get more of that, I have a bunch of cool free resources. One of them you can just find at nlpspeaking.com. So that's NLP, like neuro-linguistic programming. So nlpspeaking.com, easy to find. What I did is I put up there completely free. It's a 3-part video where I teach, and it's like 3 hours of content. So it's not a small little thing. It's a 3-part video teaching in depth how to build and create with NLP a keynote talk or an entire presentation to go from beginning to end to make sure you get the most impact with your audience. And then I also gave as a 4th video, like a bonus, there's an example keynote talk. It wasn't the same one I talked about from Australia, but it was one a couple of months later. So this is one of my first big talks, but this one generated really close to the same amount of money. I think this was 38 or something, 38,000. Plus there were some other sales after the fact and whatnot, but it was a great thing. So you get access to that. It'll be like a 70-minute keynote. You can just watch the entire thing and see everything I talked about in action. So if that's interesting at all, you can head to nlpspeaking.com and grab that. You can also email me if you have any questions or find me on Facebook, right? I'm Matt Browning, B-R-A-U-N-I-N-G. So you can follow me at Matt Browning on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the stuff.
Awesome. And I will put the link to your main website on the show page with all of this information as well. But I just want to thank you so much for, you have so much knowledge and you are so authentic, you know, and a good role model for that. So thank you.
I really appreciate that.
And I thank you for taking time, because I know what a busy person you are. So thank you so much for sharing with us.
Yeah, super happy to do it. And I'll come back anytime.
You've been listening to The Holistic Entrepreneur, hosted by Bonnie Gressel. The Holistic Entrepreneur has been brought to you by M&B Global Solutions, your source for individualized coaching for entrepreneurs and authors, along with book editing and publishing services. To learn more, go to mandbglobalsolutions.com.